Fisca. I think we're beige. Kishamali mandvarim lemala bevihirus hakavana mitvasefes tamid yedia beosher hametzius ha'elyon. V'cheshek avas olam v'ahava rabba l'or ein sof v'sbasemes v'eden hachayim v'hibitu elav v'naharu. There's one way of developing a Talmud Torah experience in which you're attracted, you're like magnetized by Lilud HaTorah. You're naturally drawn to it. V'hibitu elav b'naharu, and people just flock after it. When do people run after learning Torah? When they feel that their drive for Or Ein Sof, for the infinite life, light, when that is being satisfied through Lilud HaTorah, so a person will find that he's naturally running to it. If Lilud HaTorah is viewed in your eyes as the privilege, it's the zechus that we have of real avodas Hashem in the most intimate way, I'm literally connecting with God, then a person's thirst for the Or Ein Sof will be quenched through Lilud HaTorah. And then a person will feel himself drawn to it. Uvehesech hadas ve'aniyuso. However, if your understanding of what the Talmud Torah experience is darkened, if you have hesech hadas, if your real understanding of Talmud Torah and its essence is disrupted, miskadrim pnei shamayim, listen to the imagery. Now the heavens, the skies are darkened. Vahod nehepach lidave, we're going to talk about each one of these things. And splendor becomes depressing. Ula efes midul, and nothingness. Meaning, it's actually possible for the Talmud Torah experience to depress somebody. There's actually a mitzias where a person is depressed by Talmud Torah. It suffocates him. He feels like he's cornered by it. He feels like it's depressing. I can't connect with this. And he just constantly feels this need to release himself of it. And Rav Kook says there is one thing that determines whether you're magnetized by Talmud Torah or whether it's a depressing experience. And that difference is, do you understand the essence of it? Do you understand that Torah is the gateway to quench that natural thirst that we all have for an Or Ein Sof? Think about it this way. Mashallah davar doma. Let's say a person's looking for love, right? A person's looking for love. He wants to start dating. But for some reason, because of life, let's say he doesn't know a girl, he never met girls in his life. Tell him one day you're going to be able to start dating, and you're going to fall in love with a girl. And he's been waiting for the day that he starts dating, and then he gets to the age of dating, and they're like, you can't really date yet because there's, you have to support a family. You know, your parents aren't really functioning. Unfortunately, you have to work to support a family. We're sending you to a day camp to work for a day camp. And you get to learn, the first girls that you know are like these third grade girls. So after doing that for a summer, like, forget it, I'm never going to fall in love. Now I know what girls are. I'm never going to fall in love with one of those girls. Because what do you see? You're seeing a katnus. You're seeing something so narrow. It's such an undeveloped experience. So, and you're judging girls based on that? You're judging your potential for a relationship based on these third graders? If you start to meet a girl that has a whole inner world, and a girl that, you know, you share experiences with, then you can come to love. So Rav Kook says it's the same thing by Talmud Torah. If you're looking for love of God, we all have a natural desire to fall in love with God. This is classic Rav Kook. Just like physically, We have physical drives, and we have that magnetism to build a relationship with a girl, right? And that's just a natural feeling. So too, our neshamos have this natural pull to the Or Ein Sof. Our neshama just wants to bask in the light of this infinite light of God. Now, if you're magnetized to Torah, if you're drawn to Torah or not, will depend on this. Do you see every word of Torah as the gateway into that light? If you realize that behind every word of Torah, there's a whole goodness of God there that the Ribbono Shel Olam has planted, that the Ribbono Shel Olam has instilled into this halacha, then you're going to end up falling in love with it because you have that natural desire for God. And Torah for you is that gateway to God. So you're going to want to capitalize on every free moment. You're going to want to sit down with the Sefer and learn. However, if the Torah for you is removed from that thirst that you have for the infinite light, if it's just about the information, if it's just about spitting back the Reb Chaim or the Tosfos, and you don't realize what's behind it, so your thirst for the Or Ein Sof is going to go unquenched. And you're going to end up giving up the Torah, Talmud Torah experience. Not because you're a Rasha, not because you're an evil person, but because your drive for that infinite light isn't being satisfied within the Beis Medrash. So Rav Kook says it is incumbent upon everybody to elevate their understanding of what the Talmud Torah experience is. In other words, according to Rav Kook, let's say in Shana Aleph, you really develop your skills, and you dazzle your Rebbe with your Ve'im Toma and the Ve'yesh Lama, and you get it the first time. And you could be the leading guy in Shir. But your Shana Aleph is going to be a failure. You hear this? You could be the best guy in Shir, but you failed in Shana Aleph. Why? Because if the goal in Shana Aleph, your goal in Yeshiva is to embrace Torah for life, then you might be the most brilliant guy in Shir. But Torah for you isn't your way of satisfying that drive for Ruchnias. And the Torah for you is just about the information. It's just about the surface. So what's going to happen a year down the road, or 5 years, or 10 years down the road, when that drive, when that thirst within you for spirituality starts telling you, you're not finding this in Torah? So you're going to start to look elsewhere. It's not going to be a lifelong experience. Rav Kook says there's only one way to make Torah a lifelong experience, and that is to elevate your understanding, its essence of what it is. This is one of the reasons that I was koveyed this year, because I think that this sefer is the best way to do this. I think it's not the only way. There are other ways. You should also be learning Nefesh HaChayim, Shar Dalet, and Nesiv HaTorah of the Maharal. I'm not one of these closed-minded. It's got to be Rav Kook. But I think this is one of the drachim to raise our understanding, our awareness of what's happening during the Talmud Torah experience. I just want to point out a few beautiful images. Miskadrim Pnei Shamayim. Rav Kook says, if you don't understand what Torah is, then the heavens will become cloudy. You ever go out, you ever like play baseball on a Sunday afternoon and it's really sunny and it's all beautiful and all of a sudden it's like totally overcast and it's dark? It changes your mood, right? There's something like, I think there's even like psychological proof for this, that people are in better moods on a sunny day. I feel like there should be proof.
Yeah, you need to study why people are more depressed in London because it rains.
Really? Right. In other words, you walk out on a sunny day. By the way, what's his name? Has a new song about this. What's his name? Mordechai Shapiro has a great new song about a sunny day. It's in Hebrew. It's Mordechai Shapiro. Boker Tov Olam.
Play outside, dude. Every day in
Davening. Right, because the school, it's a bell. Anyway, there's something that's elevating. You walk outside, you see the sun. So what's Rav Kook say? What does Rav Kook mean that for you, the Torah is going to be like an overcast day? You're going to get depressed by Torah. You're going to feel like you have to escape this. Because you're looking for infinite goodness. And the Torah is just another halacha here, another halacha there. It's going to get boring. You see, this year you're doing it because everyone's doing it. You're not going to feel it this year. If the Torah is an overcast day for you, you're not going to feel it this year. Because everyone's doing it. You have the shalvim, peer pressure, and you can blast it, and but it serves a purpose. And there's on a bad day, you're going to learn 7 hours. When do you start to feel the difference? When you're a family man, and there are pressures of a family, and now there are all these, all these things and running, racing through your mind, and you have a career, and you're trying to be promoted, and your boss is demanding, and Parnassa is weighing heavily down on you. Are you going to keep learning Torah then? So if Torah is your gateway to that infinite light, so you're going to feel, I need that. You're going to feel, I have to escape regular finite existence. I have to have that daily meeting with Torah. So you're going to feel naturally drawn to it. But if Torah is a burden for you, it's that overcast day, it's depressing, you'll do it as long as you're in yeshiva. But are you going to make it a lifelong experience? This is the thing. So that's miskadrim pnei shamayim. And I think it's beautiful, the next imagery, v'hod nehepach l'dava. I have a footnote here that's saying that the Rav Kook is quoting from the Zohar, in Parshas Ki Tetze. What's Hod Nehepach L'Dava? Hod is the word in Hebrew for splendor. Hod is something that belongs to Malchus. You look at it, you're overtaken by this feeling of this exalting feeling, right? Daveh in Hebrew is like Nida. You want to stay away from it. Daveh is something, it's an outcast. Notice it's the same letters in Hebrew. Why is Hod in Daveh, why is it the same letters? Because Rav Kook is saying, because sometimes in life, the same exact thing can be Hod and can be Daveh. It all depends on how you view it. Do you understand the essence of it? So Torah is a constant. Torah remains Torah. But Torah can be Hod for you. It could be this incredible, like breathtaking, amazing experience that you feel drawn to, but that same Torah, if it's reversed, it becomes davek, it becomes depressing, you're going to want to run away from it. No, I think this is extremely important because in yeshiva, I was always told, and this isn't wrong, in yeshiva, I was told, you're going to build, when you're in yeshiva, you're going to love Torah, and you're going to run to it, and you're going to make it something you do your whole life, which is all true. But Rav Kook is saying, b'tanai, on condition that you come to the realization what Torah is. If you realize what the essence of Torah is, its source, and what is it doing, and how it's impacting me, and that the Torah is really the levush for the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, and every word of Torah, I'm connecting with God himself, then it's something that you're going to embrace and fall in love with. But if not, then Torah will actually for you become a davet. It's going to be like a nida. You're actually going to feel the need to disconnect from it. It can be a really depressing experience. The hazikuk hashemimi, hadorish is tafkido b'chazka. That desire for godliness, that's never going to let you alone. That desire for godliness is never going to take a back seat in your life. It's never going to say, okay, just do whatever you're doing. That is the most dominant force in man. Man's spiritual drive for godliness, Rav Kook says, is greater than all the physical drives you have. Because the physical drives, it's like ups and downs. Sometimes you feel it, sometimes you know how to like put it in the back and control it and suppress it. This is a drive you'll never be able to suppress. The drive that we have to become heavenly, to become godlike, that is the most dominant drive in man. So if you're not seeing that in Torah, if you're not seeing the fulfillment of that in Torah, midakeis kol yisron ha'adam, umaches or hasecha v'chol tachnei ha'chaim ha'maleim. What's going to happen is it's going to darken your whole Talmud Torah experience. You're not going to appreciate it. You're not going to love it. ומתוך שהזיקוק לשורש כל יש הוא דבר מוכרח, מוטבע ונמשך בעין הרף. And because this spiritual drive in man, there's nothing that can hold it back. There's nothing you can do to tie it down. Misyamshim mayano shifa sachayim min ha'olam ayidei rifyon yadayim mitorah delieila. That means that your whole life is going to dry up and become dry and brittle. Because if you don't find it in Torah, you're not going to find it anywhere. It's not like if you don't find it in Torah, you're going to be able to run to something else. If you don't find it in Torah, you're going to spend a lifetime looking for it and you're never going to find it. So not only Torah is going to dry up in your eyes and become brittle and meaningless and empty, but life is going to become empty. You're going to wake up in the morning and start to ask yourself, what is this all about? I told you guys about the TJJ kids who run back to the bus at the end of the day that give you this mushel. So, on TJJ, you know, I tour with these kids for a month. These high schoolers, public school kids. And you get on the bus in the morning, you do a tiyul all day, you do some outing, you get to the bus at the end of the day, and it's unbelievable. What's the first thing they do when they get back to the bus at the end of the day?
Plug their phones
in. You know, they have the USB things, you know, above their seats. Everybody, like an IV. I was once at the back of the bus. I see the kids come out, and they all go up like this. And sometimes, like, you can hear screaming, I'm only on 1%. And these kids are, like, desperate. They're running back to the bus with phone in one hand. And the charging cable, I got to get to the USB. It's like the sense that without my phone, I'm dead. So if Cook says, I use that as a muscle for this, that the neshama also sometimes feels like it's on 1%. Understand? And the neshama also starts to flash the red. You need to reconnect to something spiritual. So if you realize that in Torah you're reconnecting, you're going to run back to Torah. And at the end of a long day of work, just like that kid is desperate to reconnect the phone, you're going to run to the Daf Yomi. You're going to run to the Minchas Chinuch. You're going to run to the Navi Shir in your local shul, Beis Medrash, a Chavrusa, because you're going to feel like this is what I need. But if Torah for you is just about the information and Hod Nepach Lidava, so you're not going to feel that natural pull and you're not going to find it anywhere else. You're going to feel like your battery is on 0.5% your whole life. Can you imagine living that way? And most of the world is living this way. Most of the world is living in just like from one day to the next, like, why am I getting up in the morning? Is there a real reason for it? That's the biggest suffix that the world has today. Let's just finish up here. Did you want to ask something, by the way? You had your hand up, Yoni?
Yeah. I was going to ask that. Didn't Hashem remove this desire when you removed the Avodah Zarah and removed the Nevuah? Didn't Hashem like totally diminish
it? Rav Tzadok. You saw that in Rav Tzadok?
Well, no, it's a big
Yeah. What God did was God removed the ability to make that drive tangible. In other words, He removed Avodah, so we don't have the drive for prophecy anymore. The drive is still there, but we don't feel it in a tangible way. Okay. V'hakol chozer le'oro le'chayav ha'mavrikim ayidei tshuva el yona mele'a de'a v'seichal tov. The way to bring your limud ha'Torah back to life is to do a form of tshuva, just like you do tshuva from sins. You also have to do tshuva from misrepresenting Torah, from misunderstanding, which I'd say every high school kid has to do this kind of tshuva. Because how you don't really have time to think to yourself in 11th grade, what is Talmud Torah about? It's about the test. And I'm not bad-mouthing schools. I'm not saying I would do it differently. This is the biggest challenge today. But we're most of our high school kids see Gemara as something technical. And it's like Aramaic philosophy almost. Like, you put me in a philosophy class, I'll feel exactly the same way. No internal connection. I don't feel my nefesh is drawn to this. And Rav Kook says you have to do tshuva from that. How do you do tshuva from that? From instilling into your Talmud Torah experience de'a v'seichel tov, an understanding of what I'm doing. Moreshas avos, connecting with how the generations before us, how they view Limud HaTorah. Hamalea atzilus olamim, look at our past and look at the greatness, the nobility. Our Talmud Torah has been given royal status to our past. Man Malchei Rabbanan, the Gemara says, the rabbis are like the Malachim. They're of royalty. Look at how our Mesorah throughout the generations has treated the Lomed HaTorah. You get up for a Talmud Chacham, he represents something. V'chaye olam nata b'solchenu zu Torah shebal peh v'chol dargoseha uv'chlil tif'arta. Wow. It's unclear what Cook is doing here at the end. I'm going to tell you what I think he's saying. V'chaye olam nata b'solchenu is, of course, the second of the two Birkas HaTorah, right? We have the first, Asher Bachar Banu, we call Ha'amim. And then we have the second, V'chaye Asher Nasananu Torah Emes, V'chaye olam nata b'solchenu. Now that bracha, Rav Cook thinks, is noteworthy. Because it says in the Torah, in my footnotes, it says Orach Chaim Siman Kuf Lametes. I was not aware that it's also in Shulchan Aruch. I remember seeing this in the Torah, but apparently it's in Shulchan Aruch as well. Asher Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim, that first Birkas HaTorah, that's over Torah Shebichsam. That's the Birkas HaTorah and Torah Shebichsam. The after bracha, Shernasananu, that's Torah Shebaal Peh. And it makes a lot of sense. Why do we say that at the end? Why do we say the bracha on Torah Shebaal Peh after the Aliyah? Why do we do it after the Aliyah? Huh? Okay, not only did it come after, but now we're closing. Also nice, but I'm just going to focus on Asher Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim is the bracha on what I'm about to do. Right? I'm about to lane from Torah Shebichsam. Torah Shebaal Peh enters the picture when? When you close the Torah Shebichsam, now the interpretation of the rabbis begin. Now you take that to the next level. So you're making a bracha on the next level. So Asher Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim is a bracha on Torah Shebichsam. Asher Nasananu Taras Emes V'chalat Tabesuchayni, you say when the Torah is closed. Now the words are hidden, and now there's a new process of Torah Shebaal Peh that's beginning. The question that I think Rav Cook is trying to deal with, where do you see Chaye Olam Nata Bisochenu? Where do you see Torah Shebaal Peh referred to there? What's V'chaye Olam Nata Bisochenu? What is it? Okay, could be Bisochenu. But what does Chaye Olam mean? Chaye Olam means the life of the world. The life of the world has been planted into us. Where is that Torah Shebaal Peh? Why is that Torah Shebaal Peh? You understand?
Your nefesh.
Why is your nefesh Torah? Oh, because it's yours. But what's Chaye Olam? Why is our nefesh called Chaye Olam? So I think Rav Cook is trying to say, Chaye Olam Nata Bisochenu. God has planted the life of the world into us. Meaning, if you find meaning in Torah, then the whole world is alive. If you can find meaning in Torah, then you will see the world is alive. The Chaye Olam, God has given you the key to see how the world makes sense. The world is alive. Your life is worth living. Without that, if you don't find that in your Torah experience, then the whole world is going to shrivel up in your eyes. At a certain point in life, you're going to get to the point, what is this all about? Rav Shlomo Fischer likes to talk about this. Well, this will close. One of the Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, he says, I was once talking to someone who's not connected to the world of Torah, and I asked him why he goes to work. I asked him, what do you spend most of your hours on during the day? He said, I go to work. He said, okay, why do you go to work? He said, I have to pay for my kid's tuition. So he said, why do you want your kid to have tuition? The kid's got to go to school. They have to be able to get to college one day. And then he said, why do you want your kids to go to college? Well, my kids have to work and support a family one day. Until the guy realized it was like an endless circle. Like, well, so what's the point? Could it be that the whole point is just to make money so your kids can go to school, so they can go to college, so they can make money? Like, at a certain point, the nefesh is like, it can't be that the world is about that. It can't be that we're trapped like a mouse in this endless pursuit for our own tail. And then you never get it. Like, when do you get there? When does humanity actually reach the end? So Rav Kook, I feel, is saving the day. God has given us a way to bring the world alive. The world has a purpose. The world makes sense. When you have Limud HaTorah, because now there's a way to connect with Him. It's not just about this endless chasing yourself. There's a world, there's a way to connect with the Ribbono Shel. Now, if you see that in Torah, the whole world makes sense. Chaye Olam Nata B'Sochein. If you don't see it in Torah, then the whole world begins to shrivel up. What's the point? And the end is just depression. Why should I go on? So according to Rav Kook, the key to Simcha Sachayim, if you really want to rejoice in life and experience that daily joy in life of Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, it has to come through the Talmud Torah experience. Otherwise, that thirst that you have through Ribbono Shel Olam will forever go unsatisfied. And it's just going to be a world of emptiness. Shukran Rabosai, we should all be zaychem.